Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's hour two, and we've got a great hour for you. Ross Dellinger, who used to cover LSU for The Advocate, well, he got a big promotion. He's at Sports Illustrated now. And for the first time as a member of the Sports Illustrated staff, we'll talk to Ross Dellinger here in about 10 minutes, about Christian Fulton. He wrote an outstanding piece today at SI.com about Christian Fulton's last-ditch appeal to the NCAA as he appeals a two-year ban after Fulton last year in February, this is February 2017, attempted to use another person's urine during a drug test. He got caught doing that by the person administering the test, and the NCAA has basically no tolerance policy. It is a two-year ban. We'll get into that in just a second. Also, the NCAA, they have now new rules for redshirting that I think it's a good thing, great thing. I'll tell you why in just a second. Here's a couple of texts we got to get to at 870-870. Apparently, the power has been out in Luling, the entirety of Luling, for about an hour, hour and a half. A couple of texters saying, please let everybody know. Well, there you go. Sorry you're without power out there. Not sure what's going on. We haven't got any reports. We'll try to check that out. We're also talking about the magic spray you see from soccer players, the trainers there for soccer. The guys are being literally carried off on stretchers. They spray them with this stuff, and then they hop right back up and go out. First of all, they're faking injury. That's what they're doing, trying to get yellow and red cards from the other team. But apparently, this is exactly what the spray is. Text from the 985. Seth, the magic spray is ethyl chloride, a topical anesthetic skin refrigerant. Controls pain associated with muscle spasms, contusions, general discomfort. After five knee surgeries, my doc figured I knew how to apply. That's Joey in Pearl River. Tim, go ahead. What was that?
Energy saying on their website that they should be restored by 10 p.m. in Luling.
Cool. Thank you. So that's an update for everybody out there in Luling. Sorry about that. I know how much that's a bummer. First, let me get to the really easy story here involving the NCAA, and that is the NCAA, they've revised their rules for redshirting, and now you can play up to four games in a year and still not lose your eligibility. Football we're talking about. This is great. This is fantastic. Because no longer will you have these early season decisions about, hey, against the Northwest College of Eastern Texas, can I play my freshman quarterback and get him a few snaps here in real game situations? You can actually do that now, and you can do that four different times and still not lose a guy's eligibility. This is great for every program across the country, but you know who it's even better for? It's better for the major programs who have such a depth of talent that you've got some really good freshman players who want to play right away. They don't want to redshirt in the old system where they have to sit out a whole year. They want reps. They want playing time. Well, now what Coach O or Nick Saban, anybody else can do here, you can actually play those guys early on in the season. See what they give you actually on the field. And if you think you can't lose that production, you think they prove themselves on a college football level, we let them play. If not, we sit them out, and then you can apply that red shirt. This is great. I don't often say that decisions by the NCAA are good, that I don't see a lot of bad in them. This is one. I really don't see any bad surface level from this decision now. So think about if this would have applied last year with Miles Brennan. Could have played in four different games. And I know he got some reps there, but he could have gotten major action in four different games. And then Coach O could have made that decision. And they don't have to be early season games, by the way. It's four games anywhere. Great by the NCAA. Great. Let's talk to Sherman on the North Shore. You want to weigh in on this? Sherman, go ahead.
Yes, I kind of agree with part of your take, but disagree, and I thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I think LSU particularly kind of gets hurt by this rule change because, as you know, LSU has sold itself for years as a three-year program. and that they weren't going to redshirt anymore. The kids were going to get on the field as freshmen. The programs that I think it helps are the programs who bring kids along for 4 years, now 5 years, they'll be able to keep those kids in the program even longer and develop them.
Yeah, no, look, that's a fair point. I guess the reason I'm not too worried about that, under the old rules, yes, Sherman, absolutely, that's how you got these big-time freshmen to come to LSU or Alabama or Texas or anywhere, really, in a major program, Ohio State, USC, those kind of programs. But with the new rules here, I don't see why there's any reason that you say, okay, you're a freshman, yeah, you're going to get playing time here. If you promise somebody you're not going to redshirt them, okay, you won't redshirt them. But for the majority, the vast, vast, vast majority of incoming freshmen who all have a very high self-evaluation of themselves, right? They all think they can play on the college football level, whether they can or not. You now are able to evaluate them longer. So you'll have the edge case, the five-star guys, which there aren't a lot of them. There's this misnomer that you got 100 five-star guys in the state of Louisiana and they're all going to LSU. It's not. You're going to have a couple of those each year, handful of those each year. But for the rest of those freshmen, now you have an opportunity to see them in live game action and then make the evaluation. And I think that I truly think that helps everybody, especially the big-time programs here. Really do. But that's a good point, Sherman, that there are some promises made to the elite freshmen. Absolutely. You bring up a good point there that, hey, you're not going to be redshirted. That's why you should come here. You're going to play right away. You're going to play on one of the best programs in the country and get some big-time exposure. That certainly will still happen. But look, those freshmen were not going to be redshirted anyways. If they're the elite of the elite, a top 20, top 50 kind of player, they weren't going to redshirt anyways. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back with Ross Dellinger, and we're going to talk about Christian Fulton, the LSU cornerback who was suspended last year for using somebody else's urine sample during a drug test. He was caught doing this, and the NCAA came down hard with a two-year ban in full effect. Well, Christian Fulton is appealing this, and Ross Dellinger brought to light some very interesting parts of this appeal and Christian Fulton's story. We'll get into that next. It's very fascinating. Stick around. I promise you're going to want to hear this, whether you're an LSU fan or not. Ross Dellinger next on Double Coverage. In the middle of Saints training camp, but some LSU news and NCAA football news. We told you that this changed their redshirting rules. You can now play 4 games in a season. I think this is great, and not lose your redshirt eligibility. And we told you that LSU cornerback Christian Fulton, who was suspended last February after tampering with a drug test using somebody else's urine for his own, he was caught. He was shortly thereafter, suspended for 2 full years per the NCAA's really strict policy on this. Well, Ross Dellinger, who's now at Sports Illustrated, wrote a great piece detailing Christian Fulton's appeal of this, going through the legal process. And Ross Dellinger joins us now. Ross, first of all, welcome in and congratulations on just such a huge move for you, I'm sure, to Sports Illustrated, man. How's it been there? I know it's only been, a couple of weeks?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm on my third week. So it's been great so far. I'm excited.
Yeah. Are you still over in Baton Rouge? You still headquartered there? Or do you have to go somewhere else?
Yeah, I'm still living in Baton Rouge. I'll remain there.
Cool. Well, look, you have great insights here to a story straight out of Baton Rouge and in Christian Fulton, the cornerback. And the appeal process here is very intriguing. And it sounds like you think he might have a pretty strong case here with chain of custody. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. It's a crazy case. It's really bizarre. And it's just unusual. Christian Fulton, you tried to cheat on a drug test, not knowing what they were testing for, and he actually passed the drug test, but he got caught cheating in the middle of it, and that automatically comes with a 2-year NCAA suspension. Used to be just 1 year. They strengthened it to 2 years in 2012. And so he's one of the only, or probably not the first, but one of the only victims of it so far. And so his family has hired a lawyer, and they're challenging the NCAA, and they're filing what's called a reconsideration. The appeal, an appeal failed last spring. And so a reconsideration means that kind of just they're asking the NCAA to reopen the case based on new evidence. And as you pointed out there, their new evidence came from a forensic lab that studied the case and ruled that there was some issues. So they're going to try to, you know, they're going to try to reopen the case. But the big thing here, I think, in the main part of the story was the how stringent that penalty is. And I understand, you know, cheating on a drug test is a serious matter. And failing a drug test is serious, too. But if you fail a drug test, you're suspended 1 year. If you cheated it, you're suspended two. And in Christian's case, he cheated on it or tried to cheat on it, but actually eventually passed the test. So it's a weird situation.
Yeah, like I guess in many aspects of our life, the cover-up may be actually worse than the crime here, and you're right. 2 years, and you did a great job comparing that ban compared to other sports, Major League Baseball, the NFL, right? And this goes way beyond pretty much anything else in American sports, at least.
Right, yeah. MLB, NBA, NFL, they all have cheating rules, of course, when it comes to drug tests, and they are all pretty much the same. They are counted as a positive test, and whatever the penalty for a positive test is, that's what they get. And the NCAA is not like that. Their punishment is much more severe. Like I said, in 2012, they strengthened it. So that's kind of the crux at the crux of the matter is kind of why is this so strict of a penalty? You know, players are given 5 years to play four seasons, and taking away 50%, you know, of a kid's eligibility is certainly very strict.
Talking to Ross Dellinger here on Double Coverage. He's a college football writer now for Sports Illustrated. And do you think that this case will have a reverberating impact on this policy with the NCAA, that they're going to take a look at this after, well, certainly the exposure it's going to get now that you wrote about it in Sports Illustrated?
You know, predicting the NCAA is something that I don't like to do. You just never know, you know, what they're going to do. They, you know, they're made up of school presidents mostly and administrators. These committees, they're all made up of different people from different schools, and you just never know kind of how they're going to rule. And, I'm sure this will get, a pretty good amount of attention, and I know has already because it is such an unusual case and such a strict penalty that seems maybe unfair, especially given his situation. So the family is hopeful, but I think they're kind of preparing for the worst and preparing for Christian to basically lose this year in 2018.
It's such a, like you've said, such a strict penalty. Overbearing, I think, is another word that comes to mind. But how rare is it? Is this happening fairly frequently? Is this pretty rare, this type of ban?
Well, the NCAA couldn't give me a number of similar cases where a kid is caught cheating on a drug test. They couldn't give me a number, but they did say it was very infrequent and pretty rare, which, again, goes back to the point of then why was it strengthened in 2010, the penalty for it. So I'm sure it does happen. I'm sure it has happened. I don't think it's gotten much publicity. I think what happens is when you take away 2 years of a kid's eligibility, if he is a junior or certainly a senior, his career is over. So a lot of these kids probably go to the NFL draft, quit football. If they're young enough, they go to junior college route, and you just don't hear about it, you know?
Yeah, so we're talking about Christian Fulton here, the cornerback for LSU, suspended last year after tampering with a drug test, suspended for 730 days or 2 years by the NCAA. And You know, one of the, and I don't want to misquote your article or his parents who spoke in this article, Ross, so correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things that they bring up here is that they don't believe that Christian Fulton received enough education about this policy from LSU. Is that right? That they, not that they're not bringing this legally towards LSU, this is with the NCAA, but they do, it sounds like they hold that program and the school a little bit accountable here for the lack of education. Is that right?
Right. It's a weird deal because, the family and the lawyer for the family, they're there claiming that LSU, he wasn't educated enough. And that's a big part of the reconsideration that they're filing, is that he wasn't educated, he didn't know. And he said he didn't know what, in a letter to the NCAA, he said Christian Fulton said he didn't know the penalty, that he was never educated enough to know the penalty. That said, he also wrote that LSU properly educates in that letter, properly educates athletes. And, LSU provided some documents, of their drug education program. But that's a piece, I think, of this issue. And some people in that story, some sources of that advocate for student athletes' well-being kind of was quoted in that story as saying, don't necessarily blame the schools because these kids, the NCAA rulebook is so thick. These kids are kind of bombarded with so much when they enroll, 18, 17, 18-year-olds, when they enroll, they're bombarded with so much information, so many rules, this is right, this is wrong, that I think it kind of overwhelms you. But having said that, I think we all know, you're not supposed to cheat on any test.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a tough one to kind of for the NCAA to really accept.
Yeah, and another interesting part about this is that he actually did test positive for marijuana, and that's why he was hesitant to give the test. Would there have been a penalty for that, or they were just testing for PEDs here and weren't worried about the THC in his system?
Right. There, that's a whole other part of this, is that he thought the test was also included marijuana, or he thought the test tested for marijuana as well as PEDs when it just tested for PEDs. So no, there would not have been any penalty there. I know LSU does its own drug test, and they do test for marijuana, but this was an NCAA just PED test. And again, another whole part of it is the threshold for marijuana in a person's system for it to be considered positive, continues to change. So it's changed. It changed, I think, a few years ago. It changed back this year. It was raised. So it kind of continues to change. So it's all, honestly, it's all really messed up.
Yeah.
It's just a weird deal. We're going to look back on this in years from now when, half the states in the United States allow, legalized marijuana and go, what were we doing?
Yeah, it's a very tangled web, this story, and you did a great job of laying it out. Ross, we're up against a break. Congrats again on your move to SI and a great story here. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Ross Dellinger, at Ross Dellinger on Twitter. Find this story about Christian Fulton and his appeal, again, online at SI.com, again, in Sports Illustrated. Quick break for news. Back with your calls and text on this issue next. Welcome back. Thanks again to Ross Dellinger for joining us, talking about Christian Fulton's appeal of his 2-year ban from the NCAA. It's Double Coverage. I'm Seth Dunlap. And first of all, I'm curious of what you think here. I know a lot of passionate LSU fans and certainly anti-NCAA people everywhere. You can weigh in. 504-260-1870 is the phone number. What do you think about all this? 504-260-1870. You can text me at 870-870. My view on it, I am very, very conflicted on this. When I was reading this earlier today and thinking about this, sitting back in my office, and I really leaned back, not proverbially, I literally leaned back and just kind of crossed my arms and I was thinking about this. I have to hold Christian Fulton responsible for diluting his sample or using, well, he didn't dilute his sample, he used somebody else's, tried to, urine sample, and he was caught by the person administering the test. He threw it out, and he was forced to give his own urine, and then it came back clean, but because he was caught trying to cheat, well, it's basically a no-tolerance policy here. And I get that no-tolerance policy. I really do. You cannot allow people to literally, in front of you, cheat the system and get away with it. Now, here's the other thing, though. He didn't get away with it. This is, I think, Ross Dellinger's whole point. He did not get away with it. He served a full year suspension already, which would be in line with a positive test. Which, again, he didn't test positive for this. It was negative of PEDs. So I go back and forth on this because I personally have little sympathy for people who break known rules and expect to get away with it or have the system be a little lenient on them. However, like in many aspects of our life here, the penalty just really doesn't fit the crime. It doesn't. I think, and I don't want to venture off into political topics or societal topics, but I think that most of us would agree that there are a lot of laws on the books out there that are just way too strict. It goes back to just how many people are incarcerated in this country, right? We have 25% of the world's population incarcerated, about 3% of the world's population. So something a little bit similar here. Are we really going to take away half of a kid's college career because of something like this? I'm not saying don't punish him. I'm not saying that he isn't culpable. But 2 years, really, for this? I don't know. It's something I really have to think about, and I haven't really come up, I guess, with any concrete opinion of my own on this. Now, Tim Zimmer, our studio producer here, big LSU fan. You've been following this for a year plus now, the Christian Fulton situation. Now that you hear this and you heard from Ross Dellinger, what do you think? What do you think about all this?
I don't think he really has a shot because I think when you're going against the NCAA, you really don't have the NCAA, I don't think is going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he served a one-year term. I think that's long enough. And LSU used that as a redshirt. But if he does get suspended for another year, I mean, you're looking at him returning in his junior year. He's played like what, 4 games in his college career, and he's already going to be a junior. So,
good for him. He could go pro after this. Let's say the ban is upheld, which I agree with you. But the NCAA's history, and because they don't want to set a precedent here, they're probably going to deny this. Now, it may get appealed to a legal court and worked out there, and who knows what will happen with that, but that would probably have to work its way through for a long time here. And again, the season is approaching very rapidly. But I just wonder if Christian Fulton, who, by the way, he could have transferred to junior college somewhere, but he said he didn't want to. And in this article from Ross Dellinger, it's such a great in-depth article. The Fulton family, Christian Fulton didn't speak himself for this, but his dad and I believe his mom did. They said the reason that Christian wanted to stay is he wanted to prove everybody wrong at LSU. All of his detractors and people who came down on him hard for this, and really the NCAA themselves. But if you're Fulton and you sit out another year here, I just wonder, and he wouldn't get drafted, doesn't have enough tape in college, would you go the undrafted route into the NFL or maybe over to the CFL somewhere else? That is tough. And by the way, this is credit to Fulton. He's ready to graduate already this next May. He's going to graduate as a junior, so a full year early. So he's ready to do it. So he did use this to get his education, which a lot of guys don't.
Crazy thing is if he does graduate, he then has the ability to transfer once, because once you're a senior graduate or a graduate for you can transfer anywhere you want to go.
But remember, he's from here. Played at Rummel. He's a local kid. Grew up an LSU fan. This is the program he wanted to play for. Obviously not in this situation. Do you feel sorry for him at all? Maybe that's the wrong way to put it. Do you have sympathy or empathy for him?
I feel like he's being judged too hard. He's getting punished too hardly. I mean, I understand that he failed the drug test and the way he went about it. But I think he served as well. I think it was. It should be a 1-year penalty. I don't think it should be more than that.
Yeah, and he didn't even fail the drug test part. I mean, not the PED test. Remember, this was not a illegal substance test. This wasn't a marijuana test. He did have THC in his system, and he says afterward, his parents say, well, that's one of the reasons why he was freaking out a little bit. He thought this was an illegal substance test. But it wasn't. And that's a whole. This is very parallel to what we're seeing right now, and this is getting reversed across the country with these draconian marijuana laws. Which Ross is right. We have a dozen states now. It's about 10. I can't remember the actual number, but around 10 states now have legalized recreational marijuana, and the other 40 or so that do not. And the penalty, for example, in this state, and I know in the city of New Orleans they relaxed this a little bit, but in the state. You get caught with a certain amount of marijuana, you're going to prison for a long time. You get caught with the same amount of marijuana in San Francisco, Portland, or Seattle, or Anchorage. Well, nobody cares. Walking down the street. So, yes, I do often sympathize with people where I don't think the punishment, the penalty fits the crime. And here, I do agree that the second year seems very overboard for Fulton. Way overboard. We'll see what happens in this. We'll certainly keep an eye. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll move on. Something really cool happened. We talked about last night. The United States was bidding for a very big national event, 2026. We're wondering if they were going to get it. Well, they did. Huge event coming to North America in 2026. What is it? We'll tell you next. So Tim and I were sweating overnight as, you know, the World Cup is starting this week. It actually starts in about 12 hours, 11 hours or so. Russia and Saudi Arabia kicks off the 2018 World Cup tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. local time, and then it'll be 2 weeks of pool play, 2 more weeks of knockout play, and then we'll have a champion. We previewed that yesterday. But World Cup news bigger today for everybody here in the United States because we don't have a dog in this current fight in the World Cup because Bruce Arena and his cohorts inside the U.S. Soccer Federation royally blanked up that whole process the last year. Don't even get me started on the firing of Jurgen Klinsmann and bringing in that retread. Okay, now I'm getting fired up, when I shouldn't. That's old news, but I'm still mad because this tournament kicks off tomorrow. But the good news for everybody here, Tim, is in 2026, the United States no longer has to worry about qualifying. That's because North America officially today was awarded the 2026 World Cup. The United States, Canada, and Mexico will jointly host this in various cities across those three countries. And it's about time. It is about time. I cannot wait. This is one of the biggest events on the planet. It's supposed to bring approximately, get this, real numbers here, $50 billion, with a B, billion dollars. $50 billion here for hosting this into North America. It's staggering. It's incredible. It's going to be so much fun in 8 years for everybody, whether you're a soccer fan or not. And Tim, first of all, your reaction to this, and then give me a rundown of the cities where this is going to be hosted.
I think it's big for the USA, especially big for Mexico and Canada. I don't know if Freddie Adu will be eligible for the U.S. I mean, obviously, you know, when he came in as a 16-year-old, he was the
Freddie
big,
Adu, or still
I mean,
on
Freddie
him?
Freddie Adu could be the head coach by then. Who knows? You know,
Freddie Adu is my age, I think.
I think he's in his 30s right now.
Yeah.
I don't know who. I know Pulisic will be on the roster, but right now you may have a complete overhaul of the roster for U.S. by that time in 8 years.
Oh, Pulisic will be in his prime, too. It's going to be fun. He'll be about 31. Oh, he'll be younger than that. He's going to be like 27 8 years from now. Yeah, no, I'm ready. So what are the cities for this?
You want me to start with the U.S.? I mean,
yeah, start here and then give us the other cities.
There's 3 in Canada and there's 3 in Mexico. The ones in the U.S. start with Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, Nashville, Cincinnati, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey. Kansas City. The closest one to here would be Houston and Dallas. And then over in the West Coast, you got San Francisco and Los Angeles.
So I'm confused. They're all bidding to host, or that we've decided? Because that's a lot of cities.
It looks like these are the host cities. There's 16 of them, and I guess that's where there's going to be 80 games. There's going to be 16 host cities, and there's actually 23 that are being selected. So they're going to break it down to 7 more. That's what I'm reading right now.
Gotcha.
So there's 23 right now. They're going to cut 7 of them. It looks like they'll probably keep at least 2 on each Canada and Mexico, because Canada and Mexico only have 3.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are the ones in Mexico and Canada? Got to be Toronto, right?
Toronto is one. They had Edmonton and also
Vancouver?
Let's see, Montreal.
Oh.
And then
no
for
Vancouver
Mexico,
there.
They have Monterrey, Mexico, I'm assuming, Mexico City, and I can't say this because I'm terrible at my Spanish,
Guadalajara?
Guadalajara, yes.
I've been to Guadalajara one time when I was young. It's over on the West Coast. Well, this is great. So 2026, we don't have to worry about Trinidad. Is it Tobago or Tobago? It's Tobago, right? Tobago.
I think it's Tobago.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have to worry about them.
They probably won't be in it just because we already have 3 teams from CONCACAF already in.
Well, I believe that they actually reduce the number of available bids elsewhere, and you will still have extra bids available to CONCACAF. I think that's how that works.
CONCACAF, I think, had 4 bids this year, and I think Australia knocked off one of the 5th bid that the CONCACAF had. Australia actually won in the play-in game there.
Yeah, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I've read somewhere that they'll allow a couple, either 1 or 2 more bids from CONCACAF because of this, because you're right. The United States, Mexico, and Canada are going to gobble up 3 of those bids. It's going to be fun. This is one of the biggest tournaments and, by the way, best tournaments in the world. And hopefully places like Houston, Nashville get this just because they'll be relatively close. Houston would be. I'm going to go over there and watch some of this. I remember New Orleans was initially part of the city bid here, but they got X'd out towards the end of the bidding process, which is a bummer. Really no outdoor facility that would be able to host this unless you somehow turn Tiger Stadium over in Baton Rouge into a soccer field, which you could, but yeah, it just didn't make a lot of sense.
I'm also hearing that they're actually going to make the tournament bigger. There's going to be 48 teams in this tournament when it comes to the World Cup. Not, I think we have 30 this year. I think 48 will be in the World Cup.
32.
In 2026.
Yeah, 32 this year. Really? So they're expanding the field. Interesting. What was the final vote of this? I don't think it was close. It was the United States and Morocco were the final 2 here. And just to remind everybody what happened with the 2022 vote 4 years ago, the United States and Qatar were the final 2 bidders on this. But because at that time it was a kind of a backroom process, it was just the FIFA executives that decided the final bid. Well, they awarded it to Qatar, and everybody's going, what in the world happened here? These were supposed to go to the United States. They had a great bid. And then all of a sudden they find out bribery, corruption, and a bunch of people went to jail because of that. So no longer are the FIFA executives in some smoky back room making the decisions there. They opened it up to public vote for all of the member nations here, pretty much every nation in the world who plays soccer. Oh, what was the final vote, Tim?
USA had 134 votes. Morocco had 65. And there was one vote for none of the bids. I think that was Puerto Rico. They said they weren't going to bid at all. I think it's because they have an alliance with the USA.
Oh, that makes sense. A little conflict of interest or something like that. So here's a text from the 504. Apparently, this is going to be 60 games in the U.S., 10 games in each Mexico and Canada. All right. There you go. I'm excited. I'm super excited. And I will be one of probably the very few in our audience that will be watching a lot of the World Cup. You have anybody you're rooting for, Tim, in this tournament?
For this World Cup?
Yeah, you're pulling for anybody. It's got to be. I'm kind of pulling for Mexico here. I am. I know there are huge rivals. I'm pulling for somebody from CONCACAF. So either Costa Rica or Mexico. It's never going to happen.
I mean, when we've always played FIFA at your place, I always took Portugal just because I like Ronaldo.
That's true.
So, I mean, Portugal will be one of the teams I pull for. I don't think they really have a shot. I did find it weird that Spain fired their manager today.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was really odd.
That is odd. Yeah. I guess I'm also kind of an Argentina fan because I'd love to see Messi win one. Best player in the world. He's been that for about the last half decade or so. I know it's kind of weird. A lot of people, especially if you're a soccer fan, you go, what? Dunlap's rooting for Mexico? I'm not really rooting for them, but it's kind of like at bowl season, Tim. If you're an LSU fan or in the regionals, you're kind of pulling for other SEC teams, right? Come on. We've had this conversation before.
I mean, if Canada was in it, maybe. But I'm not pulling for Mexico, and I don't think Costa Rica has any shots, so I'm not going to be pulling for any of the Caribbean teams. I will pull for maybe the South American teams like Argentina.
Yeah.
Maybe I think Peru's in it.
They are?
Maybe those teams. I'm not going to pull for Brazil. But pulling for Brazil is like pulling for the Yankees.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's going to be Brazil or Germany who wins this. I'd like to see that final. It'd be two powerhouses. And we'll take a break here, coming back to wrap up the hour. Next hour, got a good one for you. We're going to talk about the summer of LeBron. And also, we'll talk a little more Saints minicamp with Andrew Doak of WWL TV. Quick little break here, back wrapping up the hour. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is Double Coverage on WWL. So far, this is terrible. If you're wondering what in the world this is the official Russia 2018 World Cup song. Now, yeah, I don't like it at all. So usually, these theme songs are actually pretty good. Shakira had a couple of them. Love me some Shakira. Actually pretty good. I remember the one in South Africa is probably my favorite one. But this? I don't know about that. That was bad. Tim's going to check with Energy. If you're out in Luling, we're still getting a couple of texts wondering what's going on with the power outage there. They said on their website it's going to be back up in a couple of hours. He's going to give Energy a call. We'll try to get that update for you here in just a little bit. Again, lots of people out in Luling without power right now. Like, if you're a Saints fan, you've got one more day to get out to Saints camp at the Oshner Sports Performance Center to see them. Pending weather. Now, we're hearing and seeing that rain's a possibility tomorrow, so just keep an eye out and keep those Saints alerts on, as we'll let you know if practice gets moved indoors. You will not be able to go watch them. But if it's outside, then tomorrow from 11 a.m. to about 1 p.m., you can get out there and watch the Saints at minicamp. They'll let you in at 10:15 as gates open 45 minutes before practice. And you can take photos, and there's food and beverages, even adult beverages, beers to purchase out there. They don't let you take videos. We got all the details online at WWL.com. And again, if you want to get alerts if they cancel Saints OTAs, we'll text that out tomorrow morning, I am sure. I am not up that early to text that out anyways. I am up early to cover Saints OTAs. But sign up for the Saints text alerts. Text the word sports to 870-870 and get signed up there. Tomorrow on Sports Talk with Bobby and Christian, they are going to be out at Saints camp one more day. That's where they've done their show the last 2 days. They'll have player interviews. They'll talk to Sean Payton, and you'll hear Deuce and Bobby's expert takes from Saints camp. And we've got a lot of Saints news online right now at WWL.com. We got three or four stories up about today's Saints camp. One for me about the defensive line embracing big expectations. Steve Geller wrote a piece about Kurt Coleman, the new Saints safety. Christian got his news and notes there from all of Saints minicamp today. Again, check all that out at WWL.com. And you can get all those stories inside the new radio.com app. Grab that in your app store. All right, we'll take a break for news. Stick around. We've got a great hour number three. We're going to talk LeBron watch. The summer LeBron, it is on. Where does LeBron wind up?
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.